Thank you, Brother James. Thank you for the invitation from Union Church. This service continues to be a great benefit to me personally and many others. The world we live in seems to punch you in the face quite often. And this evening, I'm just amazed at God's people who have the availability and opportunity to worship, do not take that opportunity. They live well below their means, because if we are who we have a hope of being, we have a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we're going to hear about this home from the Word of God. And I have been contemplating a lot about what heaven is. And I have those that I've spoken with that don't believe that heaven is a real place, that it's a spiritual realm, that it's not a place of substance. And the first thing I'm going to ask them is, where did Jesus come from? In the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, I came down from heaven. This is a man speaking, the man Christ Jesus. Says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me. So not only did Jesus say, I came down from heaven, he tells us who is in heaven. And as the Father sits upon his throne is heaven. And Isaiah says that heaven is his key, is the earth is just his footstool. You know, the earth is a place that is temporary. It's a temporary place that God has created for God's people as we have this journey here in time. And we go through the trials and tribulations that are around about us. But Scripture gives us great comfort to know that heaven is a real place. And as heaven is described so many places in Scripture, most of the time heaven is connected with Jesus Christ. Heaven is where Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. Tells us that he's our mediator. We have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In the book of Peter, after he tells us about our need for baptism, so that we would have a good conscience toward God, it also tells us that Jesus is now set at the right hand of the majesty on high. So not only do we know that Jesus is now back in heaven, it tells us in Acts chapter 1 how he got back there. As those men stood there gazing, and they saw him going up and returning in the clouds back into glory, we know that Jesus Christ is now sitting on the right hand of the Father in glory, making intercession for us. But at the same time, that same Jesus is now our judge. We stand daily before the judgment seat of Christ. And he judges us for those things we do in our flesh, whether they be good or evil. And as we consider these things this evening, how the Lord has blessed us so much down through the days of our lives to this very time, it's just amazing to me that I'm sitting here in the back seat of my truck speaking to God's people all over this country, and praying that the Lord would just bless us together to see heaven together for a little bit. In John 17, as Jesus is praying to the Father, in the 16th verse, he says that we're not of this world, and he says, I'm not of this world. The world that we inhabit now is not our world. We are from another world. Place that we are inhabitants, and a place that we are called citizens, a place that we have been told that we, that this heavenly place that we are able to feel in the spirit from time to time, where our Lord and Savior himself is sat upon the throne. We also have scripture that tells us about that time when Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, one of those seven deacons, that he had defended the word of God before those that were came after him because of what he spoke. And you remember there in that end of the seventh chapter, about the 54th verse, says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You know, this says here they were cut to the heart. On the day of Pentecost, it says that they were pricked in their hearts. There's two hearts under consideration there, the heart of man, and that God required, the sacrifice of God that is required comes as a contrite heart, and that contrite heart being a heart that is ground into submission. That's what our natural heart needs to have done to it. It needs to be ground into submission, that heart that God has blessed us with, that can be pricked, that we would hear the word of God, and knowing that when we hear the word of God, this place called heaven, our home, look forward to, as the Apostle Paul said once, he said, I desire to, he had a great desire to go home and be with the Lord. He says, I'm stuck betwixt two, a desire to go home and be with the Lord. But he said at that time, it was more needful for him to be here in this place, in this world, to preach to God's people. The older I get, and it just seems every day, I desire more and more that the Lord, that time that the Lord would come sooner. As he said at the end of the book of Revelation, said, come quickly, Lord. And that's my desire. But while we're here, from time to time, the Lord blesses us in our walk here, in our journey here, as I believe he blessed Stephen because of his great faithfulness. And it says, but he looked, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven. And I believe he saw into heaven, just as scripture says, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know, we read of other places, Jesus sat at the right hand of God, but right here, it says Stephen looked up and he was able to see Jesus in heaven standing. And, you know, when I was a young man, my dad would slap me upside the head if I did not stand up and show respect for those elders when they came into the room. And standing up from a sitting position is to show someone respect. And I believe Jesus here shows Stephen respect, that he respected his defense of his gospel, his faithfulness. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful at that time? And I believe that Jesus himself at our time of departure from this world, when our soul and spirit departs to be with him, I believe that Jesus himself comes at that time to bless us to be there. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I guess not where I wanted to go, actually. I want to go, because there's not much time this evening. I want us to remember quickly what happened in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, when we have that account of the two thieves, one on each side of our Lord. And when the Lord, and as they were, the one on his left kept up on him, but the one on his right hand said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You know, this thief knew that, and it was revealed to him that Jesus had a kingdom. And remember what the Lord told him. He says, he told that man, he says, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." See, there was a place that thief knew he was dying, but the Lord told him that he was going to go someplace that day, and that he would be with him. Don't you know the great comfort of knowing when we're in heaven that we're going to be with Jesus? I'd like us to consider for a few moments in the book of Job, in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, you remember how Job, I want to turn over there. I'm not real quoting on scripture. I just like to turn to it and read it. So we don't lose anything in translation, but it says in the 19th chapter of Job, something that Job saw, and it says, "Oh, that my words were now written, oh, they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever." You know, Job was saying, and Job didn't know that these things would come about. And as you know, technology comes about, how would we know the things that we know now? But Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." It says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And we know that God is on his throne. And if he's in the condition where the worms are destroying his body, we know that he's passed this world. And it says, "But you should," it says, "Whom shall I see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another? Thou, though my reins be consumed within me." Don't you know he had a revelation, not only of seeing the Lord, but seeing him with his own eyes. He had a revelation of the resurrection of his natural body. And we look forward so much to that morning that our natural bodies will be raised raised from this present world. You know, there's one thing about Jesus and all this. Jesus right now today knows us directly. He knows all about us. He knows our uprisings, our downfallings, our needs, our desires. Jesus knows all these things about us. But as David says in the 17th chapter of the Psalms, in the 17th Psalm, I love what David tells us concerning this time. In the 15th verse, David says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." You know, right now, Jesus knows us directly. We know him through a glass darkly. But there's coming a day, and David says, when he beholds his face in righteousness, we are going to behold his face. We're going to see him face to face, eye to eye. And as he knows us directly now, when we get to glory, when we see his face, we are going to know him directly. We are going to be, we're going to know as we're known, just as he knows us, we're going to know him. You know, it doesn't say there that we're going to know everything God knows. No, what it says is that we're going to know him as he knows us. He's our older brother. He's our redeemer. He's our friend. And when we see his face and we desire to look upon his face, that face of righteousness. You know, I look at heaven and I see the beauty of heaven. And I look from the 21st chapter of Revelation, how beautiful heaven is described there. But still, for me, the beauty of heaven is going to be seeing Jesus and seeing his face. You know, in the 21st chapter of Revelations, talks about heaven. It's not going to need the sun, the S-U-N, because Jesus is going to be the light thereof. It tells us this place of heaven, there's not going to be any unrighteousness. You know, there's not going to be any hurricanes in heaven.
Right.
We're not going to have to worry about the weather and the storms of life. We heard about those that we love passing. There's going to be no more death in heaven. There's going to be no more, sorry, there's going to be no more complaining in heaven. There's going to be no more tears, no more sorrows. I did a little exercise on my own, and I wanted to write down the things of this world that cause me sorrow. And boy, I could write for days on that, because there is so much sorrow in this world. And you don't have to go look for it. It finds you. But we're going to a place where that is not going to be the case. Let's read from the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in the fourth chapter, at the end of the fourth chapter. Knowing that he which raised, 14th verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, knowing that he which raised up Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. As our natural man goes down and gets closer to that time when we'll go back to the dust of the earth, our inner man should be shouting out and rejoicing with the present truth that the things that we see now, and as it says here, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, the sorrows of life, they're but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's so much here that we see that has sorrow, and we haven't seen those things eternal, where there is no sorrow. You know, you consider those of old and the things that they've gone through, where Abraham says he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. We look at different things and different aspects. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about us looking. And as we sit here this evening, and I'm sitting in the back of my truck, and I'm looking at some of the most beautiful parts of God's creation, the Pacific Ocean, and a bay, and a where the boats tie up. I mean, it's a beautiful place that I'm surrounded with. But let's recognize one thing that's going to occur with all of this. And it tells us and Peter tells us over in his writings concerning this time, says here in the 12th verse, let's start at the 10th verse of the third chapter, 2 Peter. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness, holy conversation, and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'd have each of you to read the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation and read it for the words that are there, to consider what we as God's people have to look forward to. Mm-hmm. We have a home in the heavens, eternal. When this life is o'er and we're here no more, we'll live on. We're not going to live here in our mortal bodies forever, but we are going to live forever in that kingdom prepared for us above. And you know what? People will say, where is heaven? I can say of a certainty it's up, because Jesus says he came down and he ascended back up unto the Father. I know where heaven is. It's up. I know that Jesus, I know God is on his throne. I know Jesus is set at the right hand of him. I know that there's some that have seen him in the throne room looking into heaven. I know those are there that desire to see his face and believe when they see his face, they'll be satisfied. These are great comforts for me to know a little bit about home, a little bit about heaven, because I don't know about you. I'm ready to put behind me those trials and troubles and tribulations and sorrows and hurricanes and death and destruction and politics and everything else that causes the hearts of the righteous to mourn. And the last thing I want to say is the one thing that I think I'll be most thankful for is in heaven there'll be no more sin. Because I freely admit before you this evening, I'm a sinner. But thankful that I believe that Christ came into the world to save sinners. But sin does cause mourning. And I don't want to mourn my sins anymore. And the only way that I'm going to be in a place where I don't have sins to mourn is going to be in heaven. And I cry this evening unto the Lord, come quickly. God bless you is my prayer.